Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Jill Derby has recently returned from Kurdistan. That's the northern part of Iraq. She'll talk about what's going on in Iraq. Plus, on the Power Pundit panel today, Trey Abney, Chris Wicker, and Andy Barbano. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The cowboy cinched up his grip and nodded his head.
What happened next, Popsy?
He rode and swayed but stayed on his horse.
Wow.
Rodeo. It's a family affair, June 19th through the 28th. Get your tickets today, renorodeo.com.
I love you.
Your business deserve the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
What does the massive Tahoe Reno Industrial Center offer to Northern Nevada? Well, there's an incredible amount of oversized infrastructure in place, along with hundreds of sites to accommodate relocating or expanding businesses. The park includes IT ecosystems, call centers, data centers, e-commerce distribution, and there's defense system manufacturing, clean energy, there's renewables and recycling, and we're just getting started. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Adventure at TravelNevada.com.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, you're very familiar with Jill Derby, the former Nevada Democratic Party chair in that role. But as we've talked about on this program over the last couple of years, you've been involved in Iraq in the Kurdistan region for the last couple of years and helping with education there. And I just thought it was timely to have you come on the program and talk about what's happening, because it seems like what Joe Biden originally suggested several years ago is actually happening, which is the petition, the unofficial petition of Iraq. How do you see it?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's a day-by-day situation. And certainly the Kurds and Barzani, who's the leader of the Kurds now, prime minister of a region.
Which is the northern portion.
The northern portion, and it's been very independent, and they always title it as semi-autonomous, acted very independently, and is now looking at, well, maybe it's time to break away and be independent. And Biden did propose that. Others have said it could be a federalized system with three different, like, similar to the states, really, these three different regions that are somewhat autonomous, but it's still, you know, one country and one federal system. Who knows what's going to happen?
But what are they saying to you when you're visiting Kurdistan? What are the people in power saying to you?
Well, it was mostly, I was there actually within a month, early in June, and this was just beginning to happen. It's unfolded so quickly that ISIS coming in and taking this big chunk of territory. Now what you have is it's become a Sunni insurgency, because all these Sunnis who were so marginalized under the Maliki regime have joined forces. Now, they're not ideologically compatible, but it's an ally of opportunity, let's say. And now you have this situation going on with the U.S. saying, pleading, or not pleading, but pressuring to get Maliki out so there can be a unity government. Many feel that it's better if somehow you maintain Iraq as a country rather than three weakened states, let's say that. But the Kurds now are looking, you know, they've wanted independence, although it's mixed, I have to tell you, because if you become entirely independent, number one, you have to be recognized by a lot of other people. Turkey and Iran will resist that because they have huge Kurdish populations. And really, the status of the Kurds in the north has been pretty good. They're semi-autonomous. They have their own prime minister, government. They operate very independently, but don't have to do all the things you do if you're a sovereign state.
And they're doing very well, as you've talked about.
Very well.
You know, the economy is good. They have oil there. One of the things that's going on with the Sunnis that's happened in the last 24 hours is the return of the Mahdi army and Mukhtar al-Sadr. And, you know, this is splitting up the whole Sunni population, and there's great fear of that army.
Well, there is. I couldn't agree more. And that's why I'm actually hearing almost daily from people over there. Our president at the university is sending out reports about, fortunately, where we are in Kurdistan, it's very quiet, prosperous, and stable. But, you know, this could change. You know, the Kurds were able to take Kirkuk, which was a huge opportunity for them because the central government is distracted by what's going on and trying to defend Baghdad and so forth. So far, the Kurds have really benefited from what's going on in the south. Taking Kirkuk, which they've always seen as their city, but it's been contested by the federal government, the central government that wants it as well, has been huge. Now they just grabbed Kirkuk and are feeling pretty good about it, as long as they can stay out of the line of fire.
A lot of people in the pundit world are talking about Maliki resigning and having somebody come in who could bring all the groups together. Isn't that just pie in the sky?
No, I don't think it is pie in the sky.
But why hasn't that person come out yet? I mean, why haven't we heard of somebody like that? Who would that be?
Maliki has been a very strong leader in terms of what he came on with the endorsement of the United States and the Sunnis and the Kurds and everybody else who was at the table. And he promised that he would put together a unity government, that he would have the Kurds and the Sunnis right there. Well, he pushed them all out. I mean, he marginalized them. He sentenced the former vice president, who was a Kurd, to death, or was a Sunni, to death. You know, he pushed all those people out, so that it's become a real Shia regime, and he's taken over the Ministry of Defense himself. I mean, this is a different sort of country. Before that, it was a country that held together, and there's certain strength in having a country stay together.
Okay, but then, you know, Saddam Hussein was the strength of holding that country together,
right,
by sheer brutality. Is that what you're advocating? Is a strong man to come in like that?
No. What the U.S. is advocating, and NATO, by the way, and nearly everybody else, is another Shia leader who would be prime minister. That's what the Constitution says, that the prime minister is Shia, the president is Kurd, and then the vice president and the head of the parliament and so forth is a Sunni. There are people that could, in the Sunni ranks, actually, not very many, who could bring in that kind of unity that would pull those people in. Maliki's forced them out, marginalized them, but I think that could happen. I don't know.
You don't think it's too late? You don't think that too much blood has been spilled already? I mean, this looks to me like,
no,
you know, the breakup of Yugoslavia.
No, I mean, it could. Listen, we don't know how this is going to go, but I don't think it's too late. And there are a lot of people that see the value of Iraq staying together. The U.S. is one, but in terms of Iraqis themselves, rather than splitting into three weakened states and each taking up its own government, the kinds of expansion you have to do if you're a sovereign state. Who knows if they'd be recognized by the world, and that's when you get independence and sovereignty. You have to be recognized by other countries. So there are a lot of people who are advocating for keep it together. And
but,
I think that's
that,
possible. It's not Maliki, though.
Isn't it as much a fear of Iran taking over than anything else that's pushing to have that thought?
No. Oh, well, Iran is already whispering in Maliki's ear and always has been. I mean, one of the great ironies of our invasion of Iraq that was so not well thought out in so many ways was that clearly by turning Iraq over to the Shias, then, of course, that empowered Iran enormously. And Maliki's their guy. You know, that's part of the problem. We're looking at all of that. You know, the other part of the problem is what's going going on in the West, that you have ISIS, which is the very extremist Islamic group that even Al-Qaeda has.
Yeah, when, you, yeah, when Al-Qaeda
when you're rejected by Al-Qaeda because your standards are so brutal and bad. But what you have now is the Sunni, all these Sunnis that were marginalized and fired from all their government positions right after our occupation of Iraq, and that Maliki has also further marginalized, taking them out of all the military leadership positions. So you have them joining forces. That's a very complicated situation. You know, David Petraeus said an interesting thing. I thought it was right on when he said, we cannot become the Air Force for a sectarian regime in a civil war. And you see, that's really how this is all shaping up.
All right, let's take a break. More with Jill Derby when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
Looking for help saving energy and money? Soon, new options from NV Energy will help you do both. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jill Derby, who's helping with education in Kurdistan. You know, it's interesting. I'm just going to slightly disagree with you and just say I don't see the benefit to the Kurds with what they're doing is so successful in the northern part of the country that they wouldn't want to have any part of the mess that's going on in the central part of the country. But at this point in time, and you said that, you know, Turkey doesn't want this and Iran doesn't want this and I'm sure Syria doesn't want this, but do you see an actual Kurdistan as an independent country in the relatively near future, like in the next decade?
I think it's very possible. The interesting thing is that there's been a mixed sense of the sense that we're better off if we're this federalized sort of autonomous state up here that doesn't bear the burden and infuriate our neighbors. It's not only that Turkey and Iran would fiercely oppose it, but it's also that in Kurdistan right now, it isn't as though Kurdistan has the finances to entirely support itself. I mean, Kurdistan is now shipping oil through Turkey, which has infuriated the central government, but it isn't enough to support it. I mean, I can speak actually quite personally about this because our university gets a subsidy, let me say that, from the Kurdistan regional government, and right now they're not sure they're going to be able to pay it because they're not getting the money from the central government, and the oil arrangement hasn't really flourished at this point because Turkey's uncomfortable about it. The Baghdad government has opposed it and tries to block anybody from buying Kurdish oil. It's very complicated, Sam. But you know, the Kurds who were cheated out of an independent state after World War I, they were promised an independent state, and they were not given it. And they've always wanted to be independent. But you see, there, you know, a fourth of the Kurds are over there in Iran and a fourth over there in Turkey. And then we have a big population up there in northern Iraq. And then you have some in Syria.
Let's change topics here for the remaining couple of minutes we got here, which is what's going on in Egypt. Over the last couple of days, you know, the courts sentencing these journalists for up to 10 years in jail for something that most people would consider was ridiculous. And then General Sisi's announcement, the new president, that he was not going to get involved, that the judicial system should stand on its own. And it's interesting because a lot of judges from Egypt have come through Reno, through Trachimedes Community College over the last few years, and to be educated at the National Judicial College. Your thoughts on this and General Sisi's first actions?
Well, it's heartbreaking to me. I know some of these young people that, and I've spoken to them, that really brought about this revolution back in 2011. And with such high aspirations for democracy and a pluralistic society and, you know, a voice in their own future in government and all of that. And what a setback. It's like we're back to where we began. And that, you know, we've been pressuring Sisi, and that he will not get in the way of the journalist's imprisonment. I'm just so disappointed and shocked at Egypt. What are they thinking? Now, having said that, revolutions can take some time. I don't think these young, I think it's a very big setback, and that he's criminalized the Muslim Brotherhood, that now these journalists, the world is watching and is appalled. We've all expressed, all these nations have expressed their outrage. He's doing it anyway.
And what about the attacks on the Coptic Christians? 60 Minutes did a big piece on this. It was actually about 6 months ago, but they re-upped it this past weekend. I mean, it's been devastating what the Muslim Brotherhood has done to the Coptic Christians, destroying churches all across the country.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't argue about that, but you know, Sam, one of the things that happened was when Morsi was elected as the prime minister, the president, as a Muslim Brotherhood leader, and then there was a coup, and the military took over, and then they outlawed the Muslim Brotherhood, an organization that for 40 years has forsworn any kind of violence and stuck to it. It really made them extremists in a way that they hadn't before. Think about it. There wasn't that going on in Egypt for decades.
Okay.
Why wasn't it?
More to discuss. Come back soon. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We worked for the insurance companies. We know their tricks.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
Dollar Loan Center has got you covered. Get a signature loan up to $2,500 in minutes. No checking account required. No application fees. No prepayment penalties. And now, your trusted name in short-term lending is funding title loans. From Sioux Falls, South Dakota to Los Angeles, California, apply at one of 80 locations. Or complete your entire loan online at don'tbebroke.com.
Do you like persuasion? Incentives? I know I do. And you are going to love the new and most generous incentives that Fiat has ever offered. Just listen to this.
Right now, you can drive away in a new 2014 Fiat 500L for as little as $18,000. Save almost $2,000 off MSRP. This four-door urban utility vehicle means a remarkable amount of space for passengers as well as stuff.
And why do I love talking about Fiat so much? Take a look at what I'm driving.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
When you've been injured, you're going to have questions.
We have the answers and the experience.
Call Galloway and Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Chris Wicker is here, the spokesman for the Washoe Dems. Trey Abney is Director of Government Relations for the Chamber. And Andy Barbano is editor of NevadaLabor.com. Pleasure to have you all here with us.
Thank you.
So we're in a situation in Reno where a grant for firefighters went away. And now there looks to be a pretty large layoff of firefighters. But the court has now intervened and said you can't move ahead with that. How do you view this situation? Because it's turning into a very ugly battle.
I thought it was a pretty kind of a gutsy decision by the judge, because the city of Reno was saying they didn't have the money. And apparently the state law says that if you're going to make cuts like that, you have to show that you have to do so because of lack of money. And so the burden of proof was on the city to come in and show the judge that under state law these cuts were justified. And apparently they didn't. Now, it's a preliminary ruling, and it could be changed in the long run. But I thought the city was telling us those cuts were necessary because of budgetary considerations. And if that's the case, then the cuts need to be made. But apparently, the city didn't convince the judge.
Well, and the firefighters are saying, if you got the money, then, you know, we should keep the jobs. And the city's saying, well, we have money that goes to other things. It's not necessarily going to go towards firefighters.
Well, that's right. And to Chris's point, and he's a lot smarter than me, and it's not going to be on TV, is it? But on the legal stuff, because they're going to have to go to the Labor Relations Board of the state and do all that administrative stuff first. But to the point about, that's the problem with the funding your fire department out of a general fund, is that, they have other money for parks, they have other money for police, other money for stuff downtown, all these other things, streets, all these other things that we do. They're trying to put more in their reserves, so they have other money, but just how much are you going to sacrifice to pay for? And I don't think it's a lot of people talk about firefighter salaries. Firefighters should be paid a lot of money for what they do. It's not the current salaries they get. I think some people have issues with the benefits that they're promised, when they retire, and the OPEB, the other, public employee benefits, healthcare benefits that can be expensive.
Andy, I know you want to respond to what's just been said, but one of the problems I have is, isn't this a problem when there's a federal grant out there that is going to pay for something for a couple of years, and then you pretty much know it's going to go away if you're the city council or the county commission, whatever. But you take that money, and then you're set in a situation like this, where the firefighters are saying, hey, we need to be here. But at the same time, if that original grant had not been there, you wouldn't have had the firefighters anyway.
Well, it's another example of thinking very short term and why some governments, including here in Nevada, have refused federal money. But what you're really seeing where the Reno firefighters are concerned is a very clever PR campaign to discredit them as a way to soften them up, so that they will be in a much more vulnerable position. The firefighters have a lousy PR sense, and they don't know how to present themselves, and they've been getting beaten up badly. Going back to what Trey said, the reason you don't have enough money to do a lot of things here in Washoe County and in the state of Nevada is the earmarked empires. Read my column in tomorrow's Sparks Tribune, expanded version at NevadaLabor.com. You've got money in earmarked empires that should be spread around. The Water Authority, the Convention Authority, the Airport Authority, the Regional Transportation Commission, all these earmarked empires that have their own little kingdoms. And when you combine that with passing out corporate welfare like marijuana cookies, all of a sudden you can't afford cops and firefighters anymore, and the potholes are going to hell.
Chris?
Well, I think the other thing that Andrew Klinger suggested was that look at the calls that the fire department responds to. And I know a lot of us have seen calls where you see sometimes a ladder truck, a pumper truck, and an ambulance, or a paramedic truck, a pumper truck. And so you just, for citizens looking at that, you get the sense that too many vehicles are responding to this medical call that probably could be handled by paramedics or ambulance. So why is the pumper truck and the ladder truck being sent out? And sometimes I wonder if the reason for that is to have the number of responses shown. Well, we've responded 33,000 calls instead of back at the staffing level the city wants to go to, only, you know, 3 or 7,000. So I think that's a worthy thing to look at, as to what calls does the whole force turn out for.
Chris is absolutely right.
And I want to just point out, Chris and Trey in agreement. Okay.
Chris is absolutely right. Almost 90% of fire calls are medical. So these guys are mostly emergency medical responders more than firefighters, if you want to call them by their right name. And the issue of which medical calls should we, I think everyone agrees they should all respond to priority one calls. So we're talking heart attacks, major car wrecks, stuff that you need the most people on the scene as quickly as possible. But for those things that aren't life critical, you know, we need to talk about doing that, because how expensive is that to roll those trucks every time? I mean, that's a lot of expense rolling those guys out. And we're now having the health department, they've come up with an agreement with RIMS that they're going to keep all these statistics that Chris talked about on all these calls.
Okay, you get the last 30 seconds.
You guys are reacting to the same anecdotal idea that there are 8 guys standing around at a road construction site means there's waste. Just because when somebody passes by, there are 8 guys standing there talking. That's not right. The firefighters rightly make the point that the city of Reno has given the regional emergency management, whatever REMSA is called, an open-ended contract with no franchise fee, and they're diverting money that should go to the firefighters for REMSA, and you have this duplication. So I think you've got a bureaucratic overlap, but using an anecdotal example of all these trucks at one call needs much more, much further analysis.
Well, it should be anecdotal.
And that's where we're out of time. To be continued. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Thinking of selling your home? See Marshall Realty for short sales, rentals, and regular sales.
No matter what your needs are, we have options for you. Adding value to homeowners is what we do. Call 473-1055.
Consign Furniture, the largest consignment store in Northern Nevada. So if you're looking for furniture or household items, come to Consign Furniture. And if you haven't been here, you need to check it out. Consign Furniture, you'll like our store and you'll love our prices.
Thank you very much.
And get out of here!
Doing what he does best, taking care of just about everything.
Presented by Bradley Drendel and Janae.
Thinking of selling your home? Want top dollar for your property?
With our aggressive marketing plans, our team is focused on your success. So call me today and find out why so many homeowners trust us.
On the next broadcast, an exclusive interview with First Lady Kathleen Sandoval. We'll see you on the next broadcast.